Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had a blessed Monday, as I'm sure most people already have seen the news what happened out in Vegas, so we'll get into some of that today, and Dad and I will be discussing some of that, but we also have some other good articles for today, and other than that, before we get started, how are you doing today, Dad?
Well, it's sad, and our prayers go out to the families and to the loved ones of the people in Vegas and to the victims. I believe this shooting really did take place. I don't know who wound this boy up and let him go and why he suddenly was dead in the hotel room again with, you know, nobody can talk to him again, which is a typical thing, what they always do. We don't even know if this is the guy who was doing the shooting. He's the guy they found in the hotel room. All we know that over 50 people have been killed, 58, and over 500 have been injured. So he must have unleashed an unbelievable barrage of bullets and fire. Some earlier reports said that he may have been linked to a Muslim terrorist group. Those reports seem to have not been substantiated, seem to be false. So we're going to have to wait further on to see if that has anything to do with it. Hillary Clinton has already released a tweet saying that she cannot believe how bad this is, and had they passed that weapons law allowing silencers to be legal, this would have been much worse because the people at the concert would not have known that they were being fired upon. So, again, the Democrats are using this as a source to try to stop the removal of the suppressor ban and all the other things they're trying to do. And it's unbelievable to me, Austin. They're not even thinking about the loved ones or the families that have been killed. They're already playing politics within hours of the shooting. And it's really kind of sad because, remember, right before the last vote we had on this, Scalise was shot, and he just got out of the hospital. He's been making the rounds again on talk shows, and now they're about to go ahead and bring him back up to vote again. And here we go. We have another shooting. So to me, this is just indicative of another false flag, a very real one apparently this time. And it's sad to me that this is the kind of stuff that we've got to tolerate from the Sabotage-controlled government because they're so scared that they're going to give us any of our gun rights back. Austin, what do you think?
Well, it is odd to me because, I mean, I saw the same thing earlier. You know, the first thing Hillary Clinton wants to do is immediately go after the NRA and the SHARE Act, which is basically going to deregulate the suppressors, essentially what they're trying to do with that. I mean, I've seen multiple people that have already been talking about that, saying there's another guy, Jim Sciutto. He said the House is slated to vote this week to ease curbs on silencers, which critics are saying makes it harder to detect the source of gunfire and mass shootings. Then Hillary already made her comment on that. I feel like that's very oddly timed as far as to be talking about this. We already know that, you know, suppressive fire, as far as out of a machine gun, especially the high caliber rifle, even with a suppressor on it, is still loud. This guy was shooting supposedly from the 32nd floor of the hotel across the road. This is well over 1,000 meters. So if this is what they're saying, you know, they couldn't even see where this guy was shooting from anyways. It was like shooting fish in a barrel, essentially, at that range. I mean, this was, and also to the aspect of this is from a strategic false flag standpoint, which I'm not saying that's what this is, but I am saying there's a lot of weird stuff about this entire shooting that doesn't make a lot of sense to me at all. The first one is there were multiple people that said that they thought there was a presence of multiple shooters. Now, the only thing about that is with those buildings, you're going to hear a lot of sound ricochet because of the shooting of a weapon like that. You're going to hear sounds bouncing off of every angle. So there may have been one shooter. There may have been two shooters. It honestly would have been next to impossible to tell if there were only one or two shooters because of the angle that they were shooting from and the distance and the buildings in that vicinity with the amount of echo you would get. Also, too, what Dad just said, this makes no sense to me with that lone gunman thing. I am absolutely sick of hearing this garbage every single time there's a shooting. It's always a lone gunman, lone gunman, lone gunman comes in and shoots a whole crowd. Lone gunman goes into a nightclub and kills 50 people. Lone gunman this. Guys, the statistical probability of one individual acquiring weapons by themselves, setting a plan up, and engaging this type of, you know, mass amount of people and multiple situations that we've seen over the years by themselves is pretty much impossible. It really is. people don't just do this on their own. They don't just do all this stuff, decide they're going to go shoot all these people, and have absolutely zero support, intel, or backup to engage in this type of behavior. We know the Colorado shooting out there in Aurora, that whole thing was staged because there were multiple people in the movie theater that said somebody threw gas canisters from around the corner. Then there was multiple people that came in the exit door that had already been propped open, unloaded on everybody. They took off, and of course, when law enforcement gets there, Adams, or the one guy, whatever his name was, is sitting up next to his car in a stupor, essentially about half dead, and he apparently just went into the movie theater seconds before that, shot 50-plus people, and then walked out, and then supposedly just fell into a stupor beside his car and was almost dead. Don't buy that. Same thing with Sandy Hook story they tried to play. The same thing with the Pulse nightclub shooting. This guy supposedly walked into the nightclub by himself and shot over 100 people by himself with one gun. This incident over here in Vegas, this is one of the easiest ways to pull this off, because not only is he shooting from a concealed location, he's shooting from an elevated location, so you really have no idea where shots are coming from. They could have been coming from two or three different directions at different times. There's no telling. But what makes no sense to me is that this guy, supposedly 60-something-year-old guy, lugs 10 rifles up in this hotel room. 10 rifles is what they're saying. Had a whole arsenal up there. You could do that on multiple trips with multiple bags with the rifles broken down, uppers, lowers, pulled apart. You could do that. It's plausible. But I want to see the video footage. Vegas has more video cameras in it than Disney World does. They're going to have footage of this guy unloading vehicles and carrying through the hotel. They're going to have footage of him walking through with multiple bags multiple times, going up to his room to set up this arsenal. And secondly, if you're going to go through this amount of effort to not only get a suite for a week, bring up an entire arsenal of weapons, including what it sounded to me was like automatic weapons, whether they were bought auto, whether he converted them illegally auto, I don't know. We'll probably never know. And to basically go through this effort to set up a humongous mass shooting and unload on these guys, because he obviously had planned this. He knew he bought the room planning to engage that concert right there, or a concert of that size, because he was facing directly at the concert. Engage that amount of people with that amount of weapons over and over and over and over again. The only reason you have that many guns is because either you have A, multiple shooters, or B, you're planning on shooting over and over and over again, and you don't want to cook off barrels, and you don't have fast change barrel systems like you do on a belt fed. To do all that, then SWAT breaches the door and he's already shot himself with a rifle, self-inflicted gunshot wound when they come in the door. Really? Does that make any sense to anybody at all? You just shot 500 people at a concert, but you're too scared to engage law enforcement when they breach your hotel room, so you shoot yourself? This is either clearly mind control, MK Ultra, they do, or this guy was not the shooter, and there were multiple other people, and they're setting this thing up. They pop him. He's dead on the floor. They leave immediately. But to say this whole thing's one guy, and now they're trying to blame the whole, oh, he was a Muslim convert, whatever, he converted to Muslim, that may have been plausible, he may have done that, but to me it sounds like the perfect scapegoat now. Guy comes in, lone gun shooter, shoots himself, he's a Muslim now, oh, perfect, story's over, no investigation, don't look into it, nothing to see here, easy to fix up, just the deadliest mass shooting in history. Makes no sense to me, guys. Doesn't add up at all. If you're really set up, you're loaded for bear like that, you have numerous machine guns in your hotel room, you've been planning a week to engage in this, I'm telling you right now, if you're that psychotic, you're going to engage law enforcement. You're going to shoot through the walls. You're going to shoot through the doors. You're going to spray up the entire hotel room. Unless one of your globalist buddies that owns the hotel room asked the black op crew not to shoot up the hotel room and make sure this guy's dead when the SWAT team gets in there. That's just me speculating, but I'm saying it seems quite odd that this guy comes in and he's dead on arrival as soon as they breach the house or breach the room, and he's got that level of arsenal sitting there on standby that he just got done shooting hundreds of people, yet he's scared to engage SWAT when they show up. that right there automatically seems very, very odd to me, Dev. So there's a whole lot of stuff about the situation that doesn't make sense. We're probably never going to get any answers on it because of how clandestine the entire shooting has been, and they would be able to keep it this way. As you've seen with other mass shootings, anytime you have close-range shootings, anytime you have cameras, anytime you have stuff that's easy for media to get a hold of, easy for people to leak out, it's going to make it a lot harder to be able to get a mass shooting like this through and actually have it plausible. This situation is going to be very hard to get any type of true evidence because of how long it took SWAT to get up there because of where he was at. I mean, he was shooting for like 10 minutes over and over and over again on these people. So it was like the perfect false flag scenario if they wanted to use one. And then, of course, Hillary wants to play the whole silencers can't be, you know, taken off the NFA list. And the thing I've told you guys before, the whole aspect of why they don't want suppressors taken off the NFA list is because it is going to start a tidal wave of Congress and other aspects of the NRA getting Class 3 weapons off of the NFA list. This guy did not do this by himself. I would put money on that right now. He did not plan this by himself. He did not do all this stuff by himself to just murder hundreds of people or shoot hundreds of people at a concert by himself and then shoot himself. These guys that do stuff like this, the real ones, they don't want to go out like that. They're ready to rock and roll. They got planned for it. They did it. They're ready to go out. They're not going to shoot themselves in the head with a rifle, Dad. So already this whole thing's got a lot of holes in it. It's a very, very odd situation. But again, I'm very, very sad for all the people that lost their lives there and the families that now have to deal with this mess because of this whole sick, sadistic thing that we have going on right now to try to increase the gun control and on top of that, try to use this as a false flag, because I guarantee you now this week something else is going to be going on behind the scenes with more obfuscation that they're not going to want anybody to know about, whether it's in Puerto Rico, whether it's in North Korea, whether it's in the Middle East, whether it's in Europe, I don't know, but this is going to take precedent on the mainstream media for the entire week now, Deb.
Well, they don't want us to know what's going on, I guess, with a lot of different stuff. It's always obfuscation with these clowns. But here's the thing. Austin, you can answer this question. Can you get a 100-round drum for a .308? Do they even sell that?
Yes. Betamag makes one. They make a 100-round, and X Products makes a 50-round one that you can operate in an FAL, which is a .308, or an AR-10. That was my first initial thoughts, because at the range of this right here, at his height and trajectory, 5.56 caliber has a significant amount of drop at 1,000 meters.
That's
when
right.
You're shooting even that amount of people and that grouping right there from the range of where he was at, which looks like it was 1,000 meters plus, 5.56 caliber is going to have very, very low damage infliction. And there was even a video that Dan Mazarian, who's a popular poker player, posted online. I just saw it on InfoWars, where he's running. He was at the concert. He's real big into machine guns. He didn't have anything with him, obviously, at the concert. He said on the video, as he's running, somebody is running a high-caliber weapon. I just had a girl's head get blown off right beside me. I got hit with a bunch of brains. 5.56 caliber at 1,000 meters is not going to do anywhere near that type of damage. 308 caliber is the only thing I could think of that could put that type of damage down at that range with that high capacity. Nothing else you're going to be able to go to is you're going to go to belt fed unless you go to a larger, the AK round, one large round, 7.62-54, I think, or you're going to some type of 50 cal, which there's no way he was running that. To me, it seems like he had some type of 308. I don't think a 5.56 caliber was doing that type of damage at that range, not to mention your muzzle drop. But I don't know. I'm speculating right now, but definitely the situation's pretty intense to be that long of a range.
It's almost like he was running an M60 machine gun. That's what it seems.
Yeah, it could have been, yeah.
Because that's the only thing that's going to have that kind of range with that kind of knockdown power from that distance. Because you and I have been out at the range before, and we've been to a 1,000-yard range. That's a long, 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 long way. I mean, you have to use golf carts to go check your targets. And in fact, it was so long that we decided not even to use it because we didn't have the optics we needed. So we were shooting at the 600 or 700-yard range, and that's a long ways away. It's quarter over quarter mile away, and you end up in a situation where you're going, man, this is a long, long shot. And we were hitting man-sized silhouettes, but we had good optics, but we were shooting a 50-caliber Barrett, which had very little muzzle drop. And so I don't know. I know a 223 drops off really hard at around 300 yards. I don't think it was a 223. And what the thing that aggravates me is they're not telling us at this point what the weapon was. That room, if he ran that much brass, there should be thousands of rounds of brass laying on the ground, period. I mean, thousands of empty casings. There has to be, if he had 500 people get hit, and that there were probably multiple shooters that were shooting from the same window trajectory. And, of course, they're just changing off. One runs up, 100 rounds. One runs 100 rounds. One runs 100 rounds. Because the belt fed 60 up there, that would have done it. But a 100-round 308 drum in an FNN, that probably would have taken care of this, too. Or it's an FNN or FNL, Austin.
The FAL, it's a 308 caliber. FN is originally the one who made it. But yeah, that was my thoughts exactly. The whole place is going to look like a war zone. The entire suite's going to be riddled with brass everywhere. Right. I mean, it's going to be just everywhere. My whole thing about this is I can almost predict with 100% certainty the first thing the mainstream media is going to do is they're going to say it was an AR-style assault weapon, and they're going to immediately say it was probably something that he bought at the store and he converted into full auto, which you could do that illegally if you wanted to, but in my opinion, what this seems to be is like it was either an FAL or, yes, he was running an AR-10, which is a 308 AR platform is what it is, and that's the only reason you have that many guns up there is to be swapping guns out if you didn't have quick-change barrel systems, because yeah, I mean, you're going to be cooking barrels pretty fast at that sustained rate of fire. But on the other hand, too, in the video, I did hear multiple breaks, and it seemed like he constantly was breaking around the 40, 50, 60-round mark, so he may have had a plethora of 50-round drums. If he was able to run an M60 belt-fed, he really would not have had to slow down at all. I mean, you can hook M60 links, I mean, endless if you want them. You can have 400 or 500-round belt sitting on it, and you wouldn't even have to worry about it unless you had a jam that you had to clear and rebelt it. You wouldn't have to worry about reloading at all. But again, an M60, even trying to buy one illegally, that's a very, very, very hard weapon to acquire. I don't know how he could have gotten hold of one of those unless the FBI gave him one. But my opinion, what they're going to do with this, in order to keep it as consistent as possible, they're going to try and keep the mainstream narrative the same, is that, you know, he bought this probably legally, got a background check on it, he was legally able to purchase it, and he converted it illegally, or he had some type of bump fire stock or bump fire trigger on it that you can legally buy. That way they can keep the narrative going and say, we have to ban all this stuff. If it comes out that he stole, you know, an M60 from a Class 3 store and an M240 from an arsenal, it's going to really deplete what their actual agenda is trying to go. So that's where I think it's headed with this. They're going to say it was a bunch of store-bought AR-15s or AR-10s. But again, the same thing to me that is just, I still can't wrap my head around, is somebody that this level of, you know, psychotic behavior that wanted to do this, you're not going to sit there and engage that amount of crowd and then turn around and shoot yourself before the SWAT team gets there. You're not going to do it, man. There's no way. You're not going to do that. So this whole thing was set up from the beginning. I want to see video. I want to see video of this guy walking into his hotel room with numerous heavy bags, with weapons, with ammo, or at least something that you can tell if you know what to spot, tactical bags or boxes of gear that he's bringing up in there. Because in my opinion, this was not something that was just put together overnight. This was staged for a while, and the only way they could have gotten that type of ammunition and stuff up there would have been concealed, and they would have to do it at multiple trips. And the only way he could have done that by himself is to have done it by himself, the narrative they're trying to push. My opinion, I think this stuff was staged up there already. Blocked off this shooting, and all this stuff was ready to go. Other than that, this whole story makes no sense. There's a huge hole in that side of the gap, and that's what it seems to me to have.
Also, Drudge, the New York Post has just released another article on this, and it says that his father was also a psychopath, and he said his dad actually landed on the FBI's most wanted list. It says the father of Las Vegas madman Stephen Paddock was a psychopath himself, a bank robber who escaped federal prison in the late 60s and landed on the FBI's most wanted list, according to reports. Paddock's dad was a serial felon from Benjamin Hoskins Paddock, according to the Daily Mail and a tweet from NBC. Benjamin Paddock had been locked up in 1960 for robbing an Arizona bank, escaped in 1968, spent nearly 3 years on the run before the FBI caught up with him in 1971, at which point he tried to run down an agent with his car. This happened also in Las Vegas, where he tried to do that. Since he has utilized firearms in previous crimes, has employed violence in attempting to evade arrest, and has been diagnosed as being psychopathic, Benjamin Paddock should be considered extremely dangerous. That's what they're saying about this other, his father. So it's interesting to me, because if his father had psychopathic tendencies, at that point, this son would be a very good candidate for the MK Ultra program. So we have to realize that this is something else that we have to look at. We also realize that the shooter was also a hunting enthusiast. There you go. He was a licensed pilot, and he was also a gambler. He had no criminal record, and he owned a $400,000 home in Nevada retirement community. So this guy apparently was well established, and he really had nothing to shoot for, because he had no criminal record. So how do we know he just wasn't picked as the individual like Lee Harvey Oswald? We don't know that. This man suspected of killing at least 58 people, injuring over 500, was identified. His dead body was discovered in the police room. He lived 90 minutes outside of Las Vegas in the city of Mesquite. We bought a retirement home back in 2015. He was a retired accountant, which that really doesn't sound like somebody who's a serial killer. He lived on a $400,000 property with his girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley. And Paddock was hunting. He had hunting and fishing license as well as a pilot license, and worked at Lockheed Martin as an auditor for 3 years in the late 80s. He had absolutely no criminal record in the state of Nevada. And officials said at a press conference early Monday they're still looking into a possible motive. And his father was a serial bankrupt robber who'd been diagnosed as psychopathic. So it's interesting to me how we've already got all this information on this guy, how his dad apparently was a psychopath, how he lives in a very nice home in a retirement area, how he was a CPA with absolutely no motive. So he may have just been that guy, Austin, that they hit with chloroform, dragged him back up to the room, loaded up the weapons. I'm like you are. I want to see if the cameras are working in the room. I want to see who else went in the room, who came out of the room, if there are any time lapses on the cameras, and I want to have them all forensically tested by somebody who can tell whether or not they've been altered or basically changed. I mean, this is something that we all need to take a look at. Because I mean, you remember after they did the thing when the Pentagon got hit by the Tomahawk missile, whatever, they flew into the Pentagon at 9/11, all of the cameras and all of the buildings and the entire area were seized by the FBI the same day, instantaneously, to allow the narrative to continue to be the narrative. This guy could just be a patsy who went to Vegas to gamble, who was a hunter, and they knew he was a hunter and he was licensed. They picked him out of a name and decided this is going to be the guy we're going to choose to be this dude. I mean, this is like, again, a complete and total, here's a white man who's a hunter, who's a pilot, who's a gambler, probably voted for Trump, okay? And I'm sure we'll find out if he's a Republican or Democrat or whatever he was. And now, again, the whole war starts again on the white people that have got guns. This was completely and totally staged as far as I'm concerned. There's absolutely no way, like you said, Austin, if somebody went through this and they had that many guns in there and all of a sudden they shoot themselves again. And why haven't they released pictures of the room? Why haven't they released what type of caliber weapons he had? Why haven't they listed how many casings are being done? They haven't given us any information at all on any of this, except they found 10 weapons in his room. If they were trying to cover up this entire thing and not give any information and say, there's an ongoing investigation right now, we'll have information for you within a day or 48 hours, they wouldn't have released about the 10 weapons. I mean, so they give us little bits of information, but they never give us the whole truth. Absolutely nauseating to me. Son, you want to close on this?
Well, yeah, I mean, and also too, and this, and you know, I don't know if they can run cameras in a room for, basically privacy purposes, but I do know elevators, hallways, all that stuff, it's Vegas. There's cameras everywhere. I've been to Vegas when I was a kid, dad has too, there's cameras everywhere. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, and I was like 12, and I was walking behind mom and dad, I remember this probably, and so I got a quarter in my pocket, we're walking through one of the casinos, right, and I'm, you know, 12 years old, I'm like, you know, oh man, I'm in a casino for the first time in my life, we're just trying to slide through and get through the hotel, because there's like a casino on every corner, and I put a quarter in one of the slot machines, pull it, and it takes my money and I lose it. And I'm like, oh man, I walk off. It went 5 seconds later, security walks both sides of me, walks side dad. Sir, we need you to escort your son out of the casino. He's not allowed to play slot machines. He's not 21. And I'm like, ah, I got busted. That fast. Cameras everywhere. That fast. It's Vegas. There's cameras everywhere. They got cameras in the hallway. I want to see the footage of ingress and egress out of his room for the last week. That's what I really would like to see. Who went in that room? Who went out of that room? How many bags got brought in that room? But I can almost guarantee with total certainty they will not show us any footage whatsoever of this, because I'm with Dad. This guy's background, his at least seemed like he had a successful life, what he was doing. Someone doesn't just flip off the handle like this and decide, I'm going to go take 10 rifles, rent a room for a week in Vegas, and mow down 500 people at a concert. When you hear about random people losing their mind and popping off, it's somebody that comes into their old work after they got fired a day later and ends up with a pistol and shoots two or three people and then shoots themselves in the head, and you find out they were on five different psychotropic medications. That's the incidences where you're like, yeah, that's pretty plausible. This guy's a deranged lunatic. He's on a bunch of meds. He got all mad because he got fired. He comes back into his house, or he goes back into his work and shoots one or two people. I got that. This level of planning to actually build up something this significant and not have anybody notice, because remember, nobody knew what happened. Nobody knew how this happened. He didn't set off any flags at all. Security through all the hotels didn't notice this guy coming up and down, constantly bringing bags, didn't notice anything suspicious about it, nothing at all. So we're supposed to believe that this just happened by chance. Nobody happened to know anything about this, and yet he does all this stuff, stays in a room by himself for a week, gets a hotel room right there at the perfect angle, and ends up engaging in this, and then SWAT gets up there and he's already shot himself. Absolutely no way this is the story. And it's what Dad just said. This has been, what, 15, 16 hours since this shooting happened. They haven't released anything. But yet, they tell us he had 10 rifles in his suite. Okay, well, if he has 10 rifles, it's easy enough to say he has 10 rifles that were 7.62-51 caliber, or he had 10 rifles that were 5.56 caliber, along with two pistols that were 9mm. They do that almost every other time. So for them to release little information like this and leak it out, but then they don't want to tell us anything out about what's going on, definitely seems like there's a whole lot behind this situation that's occurring. And again, it happens to be a couple more people dead than the Pulse Night shooting last year. So it's the, you notice that every single news report keeps saying it's the deadliest shooting in U.S. history, the deadliest shooting in U.S. history. Bet money the next time something like this happens, which I wish it wouldn't, but it's sad that they're going to keep doing it to push their agenda. The next time this happens, it'll be probably 70 people dead, so they can put up in big red bold letters on every news site, again, deadliest shooting in U.S. history. This keeps occurring every time, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger every single time, and it's always some lone gunman that comes out and shoots this many people. Doesn't make any sense, man. The numbers don't add up. The names don't add up. The entire timeline with all this stuff and this guy's background doesn't line up at all. So I'm very curious to see what information they're going to leak out, but I can guarantee you they're going to put that it was some AR-15-style gun that he bought legally, got a background check on, and he decided to go buy all these and pull this mass shooting now. So we need to ban all AR-15s. We obviously need to ban suppressors because he could have used it then. We need to make sure all white males are not allowed to buy any type of ammunition in quantities of more than five rounds at a time. That's what they pushed for years. You saw that after Sandy Hook. AR-15 magazines were going for $50 to $60 a piece for one magazine after Sandy Hook. 5.56 ammunition was going for $1 a round, if not more, after that incident happened because people knew what was about to happen, and Obama couldn't get it pushed through hard enough because everybody said, this story doesn't make sense either. Adam Lanza kills his mom in the middle of the night, steals her guns at 120 pounds, Asperger's syndrome child, loads up for bear with an AR-15 with hundreds of rounds, breaks into the back door of a locked school, then goes through and shoots the entire school up, killing all these kids, and then decides he's going to shoot himself before the cops get there. When people go and engage this type of behavior, do you guys remember the Hollywood shooting, the bank robber shooting back in the day? It was in the 90s when those guys bought AK-47s and filed down the sears on them and turned them into machine guns. That was a legit shooting. They went into a bank, they robbed the bank, and police ended up gauging them outside, and they were loaded up. They had hundreds of rounds of magazines, drum-fed AK-47s, and they unleashed a firestorm on the police department out there. That's what happens when somebody gets that loaded up with that much ammunition with those type of weapons and they want to engage people with deadly force. They don't do it and then shoot themselves because they get scared, unless they're either shot and about to die or they're under mind control. One or the other. But this definitely is not, this is, the whole story is not what we're being told on this thing, Dad, unfortunately.
I can personally think, I believe that the shooter was already dead before the first shot was fired. In fact, yeah. The first shot that was fired was probably fired into his head, by the way. In Puerto Rico, to change stories, people are already killing each other over supplies. A Puerto Rico cop says the governor and San Juan mayor are starving citizens to death for photo opportunities, and the U.S. needs to send in soldiers to take over. This is really, really sad what's going on in Puerto Rico, guys. A woman claiming to be a Puerto Rican cop called the New York radio station this weekend, and she said that the PR officials, Puerto Rican officials, were holding back the supplies unless the cameras were around. Governor Ricardo Rosella and Mayor Carmen Cruz, who heavily supported Hillary Clinton, were to blame. She said that it goes on to say that both Cruz and Rosello told the press that the lack of manpower and gas were at fault, which is another lie. Cruz also blamed a slow White House. She said that Trump said that she was an ingrate. Rosello said from Sunday onward, distribution would speed up as gas arrived, and the cop did not give her names under claims that she did not want to be identified. And so the whole thing about this is in Puerto Rico, guys. This island is in chaos. I mean, if they don't start feeding these people, it's going to go down to cannibalism pretty quick. It doesn't take but a few weeks for that to start happening when people are starving to death. And now they're shooting each other for supplies. I mean, I guess Puerto Rico is being taught by the Bank of International Settlements and the World Bank and everybody else that they don't just default on their bond issues to the United States and end up not paying back Seventh Day and Cabalist bankers the $50 billion. So it's very, very, very sad, Austin. What's your next story?
Yeah, no, it is definitely, it is sad down there. I saw the same article with it, like they're holding all these supplies, they're trying to make sure these guys can't get it, they're making it as difficult as they can for it, because apparently now from what I'm reading, they've got a lot of the stuff they're trying to get cleaned up now, they're getting the roads cleaned up, they're getting everything cleaned up, ready for supplies, and these things are basically being held. They're not allowing them to release them into the country, and intentionally. So it's almost like they're trying to make them suffer, which is really, really sad to me. But it really is. It's sad that people are this sick. They do stuff like that. They're trying to do that to a country that just got hit with a hurricane. The other news, though, this is a pretty cool new study. It was a study conducted by a team from Massachusetts Institute of Technology, concluded that infants as young as 15 months are willing to put in extra effort to accomplish something if they observe adults trying to achieve their end goal. They said that children learn primarily by being instructed in knowledge and skills that adults have already mastered. According to the researchers, babies who see adults struggle to accomplish two different goals before finally exceeding are more eager to put in the same amount of hard work than babies who observe adults doing something successful with a goal during their first try. And so it's interesting when you kind of read the study, just how, what the, a lot of stuff they did with it. And it was kind of cool. But this is what I started thinking about this after I read the article. This is one of the reasons why we have this entitled generation now, because we have so many people that are essentially on the government take that are getting everything for nothing. I mean, there's a significant amount of the population now that's totally dependent solely on the government. And we have this generation, and it's not the only reason, but it's a part of the reason. And so they see this whole generation around them that gets anything they want. They get free Obama phones. They get free food. They get free housing. They get free insurance from Obamacare. They get free transportation a lot of times. They get free subsidies. They get free education. I mean, all these kids now for the last couple of years have been going online and, you know, social media and bragging that they're illegal aliens and they got $50,000 scholarships or they got $100,000 scholarship to Yale. And so they've generated now this giant entitled mindset, and the youth have seen this now. And so as it talks about in this article, when the infants, when the toddlers saw the adults actually have to try and struggle on a goal, they actually had to work for the goal, they actually had to try and push further to complete the task, it made them to have the same ideology and the same work ethic where they wanted to go and try and work hard to complete the task versus the ones that saw the adults do the task was absolutely no effort whatsoever and it was done. They didn't have the same ideology as far as to struggle harder to push through and achieve their goal. And so that's interesting. It was cool to me reading it because it really shows you how when kids actually see their parents work, when they see them really try, when they see them really pushing for goals and, you know, always trying to strive for more and more, it pushes the child to do the same, whereas it's the total opposite when you have a child that sees its parents get everything for free, never have to work, never actually have to want to acquire anything, everything's handed to them on a regular basis, they essentially think that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's part of the reason, in my opinion, why we have this generation now that's just absolutely almost a failure underneath us now, this I generation, Generation X, Deb.
It's pretty bad. Paul Craig Roberts is talking about what's going on with the economy with this generation of people. And he says something interesting. I'm going to quote him on this. He goes, "In America, government is not in the hands of its people. Government is in the hands of a ruling oligarchy. Oligarchical rule prevails regardless of electoral outcomes. The American people are entering a world of slavery more severe than anything that previously existed, without jobs dependent on their masters for trickle-down benefits that they are always subject to being cut off, and without voice or representation. Americans, except for the 1%, are becoming the most enslaved people in history. Americans carry on by accumulating debt and becoming debt slaves. Many can only make the minimum payment on their credit card and thus accumulate debt. I'm going to add in this right now, they also only buy payments on their automobiles with no hope of ever paying off the cars." Then he goes on to say, "The Federal Reserve policy has exploded the prices of financial assets. The result is that the bulk of the population lacks discretionary income, and those with financial assets are wealthy until the values are readjusted to reality." He goes on to say, "As an economist, I cannot identify in history any economy whose affairs have been so badly managed and prospects so severely damaged as the economy of the United States of America. In short, intermediate-run policies that damage the prospects of America's workforce benefit what is called the 1%, as jobs offshoring reduces corporate costs and financialization transfers remain discretionary income or interest and fees to the financial sector. But as consumer discretionary incomes disappear and debt burdens rise, aggregate demand falters and there is nothing left to drive the economy." I mean, I'm going to finish this. You got a couple sentences left. "What we are witnessing in the United States is the first country to reverse the developmental process and to go backwards by giving up industry, by giving up manufacturing, and giving up tradable professional job skills. The labor force is becoming third world with lowly paid domestic service jobs taking the place of high productivity, high value added jobs. The initial response was to put wives and mothers into the workforce, but now even many two earner families experience stagnant or falling material standards of living. New university graduates are faced with substantial debt without jobs capable of producing sufficient income to pay off the debts and the student loans. Now the U.S. is on a course of traveling backward at a faster rate. Robots are here and are starting to take over more and more jobs, displacing more and more people. Robots don't buy houses. Robots don't buy furniture. Robots don't buy appliances, cars, or clothes, or food, or entertainment, or medical services. Unless robots begin to pay payroll taxes, the financing for Social Security and Medicare will collapse, and it goes down from there. Consumer says spending simply dries up. Who's supposed to purchase the goods and services supplied by robots when nobody has a job making any money? To find such important considerations absent in public debate suggests that the United States will continue on the country's deindustrialization and demanufacturing trajectory," which is exactly Cloward and Piven. This is exactly what the communist, Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Druid, synagogue of Satan has done to the United States. They have deindustrialized us. They have de-incentivized us, like Austin had mentioned just a minute ago with his story, and now they are doing this to us, and now they're trying to de-arm us, disarm us, take our weapons away with a never-ending barrage of false flags. This is absolutely nuts, and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is absolutely right, Austin. Who's supposed to buy this stuff when nobody has a job anymore and the robots are the only ones that are working? This is crazy. What do you think?
Depopulation agenda, bud. That's where it's all headed. That's why we've seen that with the so many different models where they've done the one that we talked about before. I forgot the name of it, where it's basically, it talks about like 200 million U.S. lives are going to be gone by 2025. This is exactly what you, how are you supposed to have a population this big and everything's automated? That's why I have such an issue with automating. Granted, I know a lot of automation stuff makes things much more efficient, makes it easier to maintain, especially in some areas that you can do. But on the other hand, too, the further we go down this hole into total automation, giving the AI essentially control of everything, where you have all these AI robot workers and you have two or three head managers that are actually people, there's no jobs anymore. And that's where all this is headed. Where are people supposed to, what are they supposed to do when there is no job you can legitimately find. I mean, I've known numerous people that have college degrees that still work in serving industry as far as waiting tables or bartending. And there's nothing wrong with that job. I did it in college. But the problem is now, most of the time, you can still make 40, 50, 60 grand a year bartending, and you make cash. You don't have to pay a massive amount of your income to the unconstitutional IRS, and you can work pretty much whatever schedule you want, and you actually have a job. That's the issue now. All this stuff is kind of separated to where we have these either low jobs for just basic workers that are essentially getting turning into robots. That's what they're doing. They're putting robots in all these places. Or you have the upper peak jobs in the banking industry and stuff like that where they're making millions and millions of dollars every year. You essentially have to be an elitist or part of that group to even get into that club. And that's the overall goal. That's what they've done now. And, I mean, we have more people in history. I mean, we have, what, a sixth of the population in the United States on food stamps now. That's an issue that nobody wants to talk about. I mean, we have this $1.3 trillion student debt bubble. We have the housing market that's looming again, that's gotten huge. We have the car industry bubble that's absolutely out of control that nobody wants to talk about. And all these things are culminating to a bigger event. So when they have incidences like this happen in Vegas, it's a great segue for them to try to keep people's minds off what's really going on so they can further their agenda, and then they have an excuse to try and regulate more firearms and de-arm us even further, because that is the overall goal. That's one, that has been one of the biggest reasons, in my personal opinion, why the globalists have not been able to take over the United States any faster. It's taken them over 100 years with the Federal Reserve just to get the cash flow and the cash completely down to nothing. I mean, they've destabilized the economy more than anything with the cash, but they still have a hard time taking this country over because the level of firepower that we all legally own. And until they can get rid of that, it was going to be a very, very difficult task, short of a nuclear world war, which at that point everybody loses. And as Dad said before, I don't ever think it's going to go to that. You may have, say, an isolated incident that they use a false flag with North Korea, but as far as an all-out nuclear war, I don't think it's going to go to that, because it's going to ruin the infrastructure of everything on the planet. So they have to disarm us, because they know a armed civilian population is a dangerous civilian population when it comes to the globalists trying to come in and take over and do everything they want, Dad.
They're going to just do biologicals on us, Austin. That's all they can do, because they can't get this legislation passed. And hopefully Trump doesn't crawfish on his pro-gun stance like he's crawfished on so many other things now, with his White House being filled with so many sneaking communists. I mean, it's unbelievable the people that are in his White House, these hardcore, staunch Democrats. Look at Antifa right now. Antifa right now is prepping mass uprisings, risings all over the country to remove the, quote, fascist Trump that they're saying. This far-left group has been dramatically increasing its presence in American political scene and since the inauguration of Donald Trump. Its violent tactics have been labeled terrorism by experts, but now the group is attempting to actually do a revolution. On November the 4th, the group Refuse Fascism is calling for gatherings around America to demand that the Trump-Pence regime must go. The group claims that the Trump administration is fascist and must be resisted, channeling the rhetoric of the Antifa or anti-fascist, which have been active across the country. So now they're planning on giant demonstrations on November the 4th. I just want to give you guys a head up on that. Remember, when I was on the airplane getting off the plane coming over from Mykonos going back to Athens, Greece, I talked to the college kid who was a cheerleader, I believe, at Tulane, and her response to me was, Trump is a fascist. And when I asked her why Trump was a fascist, she starts screaming and cussing. She couldn't give me any reason why he was a fascist, and basically just had been continuing to express the same rhetoric she'd learned at this super liberal university, which is really, really kind of sad. Because, guys, this is where they want to take it. They want to do a Russian revolution here, like they did in the 1915, 16, and 17 in Russia, and they want to overthrow the government, and they want to put a communist, satanic dictatorship in place. That's been their goal for the past 100 years, and they're absolutely bent on doing this. And the sad part about it is, until Trump gets these communists like the Kushners out of the White House, most Democrats, now I'm just going to be blunt here, and if you're a Democrat and you're listening to me, you need to talk to your friends, because I'm just going to tell you this truth right now. Most Democrats are completely anti-Trump to the point of they're adamant as far as wanting to scream, yell, take him out by force or whatever. They don't realize he was put in through the Electoral College process and he's our designated president. They don't care about that. They want what they want so badly, their communist views. They're socialists is what they are, that they'll take the country down in order to accomplish that. I read you the article last week where the Antifa guys are saying that when the country finally collapses, that they're going to kill the doggone folks that are in charge of the Antifa also, that everybody gets a bullet. I mean, this is what they want. They want chaos in the streets, and they want the complete destruction of the United States of America, because their masters, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, want to bring in a one-world dictatorship, and they can't do that with the United States still intact. That's where this is headed, and it's sad, because when I see false flags like this gun shooting is, which I believe that is with all my heart right now, the guy was set up as a patsy, like we've seen so many times. Guys, yep. It's an absolute mess, this what's going on here in the United States of America. Sad, sad, very sad.
It is. It really is. And it's there's been stuff brewing. We've all talked about it. We've known for months that there's a lot of tension building. And I hope this isn't the start of something even more aggressive after this. It's horrific last night. But to me, it seems like they have to – they're panicking because – the alternative media is getting traction. There's no question about it. I mean, everything's getting traction, from Dave Hodges to Hagman to our show to Alex. Everybody's getting traction. And people are starting to realize we've been lied to. We've been had, essentially. That there's a whole other agenda going on with everything, from the financial industry to the global markets to the military to the CIA, everything. People are waking up to this stuff. And especially when you start doing your research on HAARP and that older technology and the weather modification that they've been building for decades now. And people are waking up to this, and the mainstream media is losing control of the populace. People aren't watching CNN anymore. They know it's all lies. They know it's fake news. I mean, it's clear as day that it's fake news now, especially with all the stuff that they lie about all the time and what we've seen with this whole Russian nonsense. So they have to start doing more and more and more egregious activities, more things that get everybody's attention, more things so they can finally reach a point to where most of the American population is going to beg to have everybody disarmed. That's what their goal is. And like that's the Bolshevik Revolution and all that. They want to create as much instability as they can. So it's our job to make sure we don't let these guys get into our head. We don't let these psychops ruin our outlook and our mindset with what's going on. You have to stay in the Bible. You have to stay grounded. You have to stay awake and focused of everything that's going on right now. Don't take everything for face value. Question the situations that arise, especially with the media and stuff like this. Know that there's a lot of things usually behind the scenes that they're not telling you. So look at everything and understand what's going on. And on top of that, try to make sure you're waking up everybody around you. Keep your health in order. Make sure you're staying and exercising on a regular basis. Staying in good shape. Make sure you're eating good quality foods so your mental acuity is top notch. Make sure you're taking your good vitamins like the B complex and the omega-3 to keep you in a good, healthy frame of mind and a good mood on a regular basis so you stay frosty for any of these situations like this. Make sure you're armed. And I tell people that all the time. Most people don't listen to me, but I mean, I'm a big proponent of always making sure you have a firearm with you on your person and in your vehicle. Situation like this, this is a very difficult one to handle. Because on the 32nd floor with a machine gun 1,000 meters away, there's absolutely nothing you're going to do unless you already have a Barrett with a loophole set up or a .338 Lapua or a very good caliber weapon, and you're ready to engage him immediately when he starts shooting, and you can run through the scope and see where the flash is coming from. Other than that, that was a bad situation last night to be in. I feel bad for all those people because there was not a whole lot you could do. Even with a concealed carry handgun, there wasn't a lot you could do. That's why they did it. They wanted to try and instill fear in the population to be scared to go outside. Now they're already saying, oh, ISIS is claiming this. Whatever. They can say whatever they want. They can use their scapegoat all they want. Remember, ISIS is a giant boogeyman. That's the issue that we've always had over the Middle East. It's the big boogeyman we have to fight all the time. Whether or not it had ISIS to do anything, I highly doubt they did. I highly doubt they did with the situation whatsoever. I don't even believe this guy's a Muslim convert. He may have been, but I don't believe so. I think this whole thing was set up from the beginning. I don't even think this guy knew anything that was going on. I think they picked him. He was a perfect patsy. He probably ran into somebody Who knows? He could have met some hooker at a hotel down there in Vegas, and she dropped a drink in his drink and took him back to the room, and bam, that was it. They already had him in the room, set up, ready to go, filled the room up with guns, put the black op team in position, sprayed everybody down, shot him in the head when they walked out, and all of a sudden, done. Situation's over with. Nobody knows what happened. This thing's going to be a closed case. This guy was a random psychopath that lost his mind, that was a legal, law-abiding gun owner that bought all these guns legally and went crazy and shot everybody. To me, that seems like the perfect narrative from the globalist standpoint. That way, they don't have anything that can fall back on them. They can use it to say, well, you never know. Those crazy white conservative nationalists, they may just lose their mind sometimes and go get a gun and shoot everybody. They don't need to have guns whatsoever. We need to ban them from being able to own guns. That's the easiest narrative to play. So don't fall into this, guys. Stay aware of what's going on. Be prepared for any situation and make sure these guys in the video, and I understand because they didn't know where the shots were coming from, they did not move. They stayed in position. A sitting target is a dead target. You never want to sit out in the open when somebody's shooting. It's not fun to try and duck and run away. That's not cool either, especially when somebody's shooting. But laying down like everybody did is the absolute worst position you could do, because I guess they thought somebody was shooting from a flat point of frame as far as from their level, not from an elevated position. So they all thought the best thing to do was to drop down. The problem is everybody kept getting shot while they were laying on the ground, made it even easier for this guy to unload ammunition. Not a good position. You always need to try and get out of there, or at least get to cover. Get to a hard object. Get to something you can hide behind. Don't just stay out in the open. Cover and concealment of your friend in a gunfight, laying down in the open and acting like it's just going to go away, is the worst situation you can do, Dad.
Well, the biggest problem they had, there was a fence around the entire perimeter of the property. Apparently it was a concert you had to pay to get into. And so they had either chain link or some type of barrier perimeter that had been set up where they were like trapped, like, you know, fish in a barrel. And so when he stopped shooting, they would start climbing the fence. And then when he started shooting, they'd get back down. Multiple guys died covering up their wives and girlfriends. They laid on top of them and got themselves shot. And the thing about it is that several hours before the shooting, which is what the Sabbatean Kabbalists always do, they sent some person out into the crowd, and she started telling everybody they were all going to die. And so this was an interview. This is multiple people have said the same story. This lady was running around saying, everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die. Because remember, they have to tell you in advance what they're going to do to you, and you have to agree to it, or you don't take any precautions against it. I mean, this is the white magic, the lesser magic they use. This is what they have to do to keep the karma on the other side from going absolutely awful, why they do another human sacrifice like this.
Yep.
I mean, this is some crazy stuff, guys, and we've talked about it so many times, and it's the only thing. It just gets really weird when you start going into the top talking about this kind of stuff, because they're always out there divulging information and dropping stuff on you. Like right now, another one from the Daily Mail. I mentioned this a little bit last week, and now it's getting even more. So now it's saying that humans could soon live inside the moon and Mars in giant underground tunnels carved out by volcanoes. Two teams of researchers have been working on ways to exploit lava tubes in order to have full colonies on Mars and on the moon. I personally believe, guys, that we've already got colonies on Mars. I personally, we've already believed that we have colonies on the moon. And you say, well, Ted, that sounds Looney Tunes. Well, that's what I believe. I've read so much stuff. It's so funny, too, because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. You know, until about 5 years ago, I didn't even buy Roswell. I could care less about Roswell. I could care about any of this. And I started digging into this stuff and digging into this stuff and digging into this stuff and read so many articles and so many books on it now. There's too much evidence to suggest that we have some 1920s rocket technology, and that's all we have. There's too much evidence to the contrary. With all of the stuff that we've gotten from retro engineering of something, and when you read Colonel Corso's book, The Day After Roswell, and you read Hellyrod's book, The Money Mafia, and they tie all these pieces together for you, it just makes sense. And then you have Dr. Greer running around talking about the advanced civilization and the breakaways of civilization. Guys, all of this stuff they're keeping hidden from us. We don't need cars. We could be running on the power in the ionosphere, in the atmosphere, in the stratosphere, in the, you know, all these lower energy fields that we have around the planet can completely power everything. We've had that technology for over 100 years, and they refuse to let us have it. And that's before what happened in 1947. So I've talked about this repeatedly on the Hagman Show and on Hodges' show. I know it sounds crazy, but you got to do some research on it and take a look at it. I mean, our technology with microcrystals and piezoelectric crystals and implanting chips to us, into us, through breathing them into our lungs. All of this stuff. This is some wild, crazy stuff, and they're doing it every single day when they spray us with chemtrails. Guys, thank you for listening to the show today. I'll do the write-up on it, Austin. Again, my condolences to the families, to the loved ones that have been shot, that have been injured in Vegas. I feel so sorry for those people out there. We have to, you know, let's pray for them. Father, right now, be with these people, Father. Just put your arms around them and help them, Lord, to get through this very difficult time and help them to get past it, Lord. And keep the people that have been injured, Lord, that are in intensive care, wherever they are, Lord, help them to recover from this and allow them to be fully restored, Lord. I appreciate you, Father, for letting us pray to you about this, Father, because this is such a mess. In Jesus' name I pray. Guys, I appreciate you. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for listening to the show. Austin, I'll do the write-up, but guys, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, and also, guys, just a word of advice. I'm real funny about this, but whenever you go places, always know your exits. Always know what you're going into as well. I don't go places most of the time or do things like concerts simply because I don't like being confined to a situation that I can't leave immediately upon me wanting to do so. When you go into places like this where there's very, very small exits to get out of, there's no large places for you to be able to move, that's an issue with me. I remember I went to downtown Disney a while back ago with my wife Lana, and it's got like, it's like a shopping area with restaurants and a movie theater, and they have these huge parking garages now. Well, all the parking garages have these huge metal bars on them, on the windows, all the way up. And the doors, they have these giant metal roll-down doors that can roll down if they want to. Now, the roll-down doors were not down, but all the windows had the bars on them. There was no way to exit this except for the two entry points where you drive or the two walking points in the front or back where you walk through a little space in the bars. And I actually, I went in there and I was trying to park my truck, and I wouldn't do it. I left. I went up and I ended up leaving. I didn't want to go. I started just getting real irritated and real frustrated because I don't like being in situations where you're completely blocked in. You have no ability to go in a direction that you want to if something like that happens. So just be aware of that. If you go into something, make sure you know your exits. Make sure you know your entry points. Make sure you know how to get out of the situation if something arises like that, because being trapped like that is a horrible feeling, and there's a lot of ways you can avoid it just by not going to those situations sometimes if you have the ability to do so. So, guys, we appreciate it. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for the emails this weekend. Be sure to check out the GHI Cleanse on the front page of healthmasters.com. It's the product of the week. We have it in the vanilla, chocolate, chocolate mint, chai. Really great product as far as detoxifying the organs, cleaning out the liver, cleaning out the kidneys, cleaning out the colon, with our rice and pea protein blend. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com, on sale right now. If you need anything, give us a call up, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.